Feel slightly restricted. Is that better? Wired for sound. Really good to be here. Thank you for a warm welcome. My name's Nigel Thompson. I'm here today with my wife, Lucy, and one of our four children, Elijah, who likes his dad preaching so much, he's sacrificed the kids' club to listen to me. We have three other children, Lucy and I. They're back at home in Bury because they're on duty at church, helping out with kids and various other things. So it's really nice to be here. A lot of faces I recognise in the room. So Lucy and I are the senior leaders of Bury Christian Fellowship. There's six of us altogether, three couples that lead the church, and I take some of the time in the week to do that. 2 days a week I work for church. The other 3 days I work in the business world, working with garden centres and garden retailers. So a lot of people can navigate the United Kingdom by pubs. I'm sad enough to be able to navigate most of the UK by a garden centre or a garden retailer. I really am that exciting, Lucy, aren't I? I really am. It's really nice to be here. As Alistair said, we're part of the same family as you, the Salt and Light family of churches. We've got the Blackpool Church, which are called the Gate Community Church, meeting, and Bob's speaking in Bury today. I'm coming here. We're going to go back and have lunch with those guys. And I've just got to say, I really love and appreciate you guys, the Salt and Light family, our family here in the Sphere, northwestern North Wales. And it's kind of where my preach, if you like, is coming from in part, out of that. So I really do value the connection. It was this verse just at the start of Philippians when I was thinking weeks and weeks ago what God might have me to bring. If you want to turn with me, you can to Philippians chapter 1. I'm just going to read a couple of bits from verse 3. Onwards. And it's this, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, Life Church Manchester, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's good to know what God started is going to finish. But it was that, just that heartfelt thing. And I've never spoke here before, so you might say, that's a strange thing for you to say. But just our connection through various things, through individuals, through the Sphere, through men's weekend, through the marriage weekends, lots of different things that we do together, just that sense of family. And just a little side story, if I may, before I get into what I really want to say. He's not here to answer this story back, but Andy Barclay Watt really does have God's favour. I'll tell you why he has God's favour, because I meet with Andy sort of every 4 or 6 weeks, and we meet as a Sphere with Al and Dave and the other churches. But I met Andy one day, sometimes we meet here, at Starbucks behind the Trafford Centre, which is a bit of a haven for Christians, I've noticed, that place, isn't it? So I don't know, 50% of their income must come from the churches around the area. So weeks after meeting Andy, right at the start of this year, the end of January, a few weeks after meeting him, I got a really nice letter in the post. We're looking at a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians from the car park people with a fine, because I didn't know it was 90 minutes. I thought these places are at least 2 hours. I spend a bit of my life, work life, on the road, hot desking and all that sort of stuff. So I'm parked next to Andy. He arrives at the same time. He leaves at the same time. I get booked. He doesn't get booked. Now, I wrote to them to appeal this. My innocence of not knowing it was 90 minutes, and pointing out the fact without naming him or naming his registration, more to the point, that a friend and a colleague was with me who didn't get booked, but I did. So he truly is favoured. So if you want to preach a sermon on the favour of God, use that analogy. Yeah. If you ever want to preach a sermon on justice and injustice, use the same analogy. If you ever want to preach a sermon on Nigel, read the small print, there's three sermons you could probably get out of that. So Andy is highly favoured, more so than me. This letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, it's been referred to as the letter of joy, or a letter of joy. Paul founded this church in Philippi, and he wrote this book, if you like, from chains or from being imprisoned. It was a colony of Roman soldiers, so people of fine standing. A group of people that Paul particularly liked, they've given him a gift, they were real supporters of what he was doing. They were experiencing some hardships, and as we know from Scripture, there's various reasons why the letters or the epistles were written to churches, sometimes for correction, for instruction, for encouragement, to talk about a specific issue. And this was a group of people, this church in Philippi, that was precious to Paul. And you're precious to us in Bury. This family's precious as well. So I partly feel like I'm standing to a degree in the Apostle Paul's shoes today, trying to take an apostolic view in terms of talking to you and thinking about you. And I want to start by the first bit from Philippians. There's only four chapters in this. I'm not going to cover every single verse in every single chapter. There's going to be loads of stuff I leave out. I'd encourage you this week, if you've got some time and space, to read through the four chapters. And don't do it now while I'm preaching, because I'm a bit insecure. Have a read of the four chapters. There's some really, really uplifting, wonderful stuff. A lot of it you probably read and think, oh yeah, I know that verse. Recognize that verse. But in verse 2, he says this, and I want to say this with integrity and heart and prophetically to you as a church family today. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace be yours, Life Church Manchester. That word grace means to be full of cheer, to be calmly happy, to be well, to be glad, to be joyfully. It talks of the merciful kindness of God, which turns us to Christ and kindles us to the exercise of Christian virtues. You can tell I've done some digging on this, can't you? Grace empowers. Grace just doesn't forgive. Grace just doesn't let us start again or sets the record straight. Grace empowers us to go on, to carry on, to function. It moves us on. Grace is impactful. To say, it doesn't just reset, doesn't just press the reset button in our life, although the grace of God does that. Grace sends us somewhere. Peace, I'd look at this word, peace. One of the meanings would be to join. It talks about a quietness, a rest to set at one again. It speaks of harmony or concord, security, safety, prosperity, the tranquil state of the soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, content with its earthly lot. So sometimes we use words quite casually or can do quite flippantly. But I want to say grace and peace to you today. I want to have a look at five things. I actually had 12 things, but I've had to trim 12 things down. And I sent my slides to Alistair. And Alistair, I think, to be honest with you, was quite horrified with my slides, because you'll find out why in a minute. There's only one, apart from the title slide, that's got words on. So I've had a look at Bob's, who's preaching in Bury today, and he's full of scriptures. I hope my preach is full of scripture. They just won't be on the slides. So can I have the first slide? The first lesson. Alice has probably looked at that and thought, what on earth has that got to do with what Paul said to the Philippians? We know that Paul was in chains for Christ when he wrote this letter. And my message is simply this. His limitations and restrictions don't mean we have to completely stop. So that 50-mile-an-hour sign, the reason I put that, there's an analogy, and you'll know this living close to the M60 like we do, that if you've endured the M60 and the smart motorway stuff that's gone on, the philosophy behind the smart motorway, I'm led to believe, is the interactive signs control the traffic, yeah? They open the hard shoulder for the flow. They've done it on the M42. They've done it on the M25. It does work. I can tell you it does work. I benefited from it. But it's not so much... rather than the traffic coming to a complete standstill and grinding to a halt, the smart motorway, the intention of it is to keep a flow and a movement, to keep you going. And I want to say to you today, if you're here and you're literally feeling, experiencing, or it's whether it's a mental or emotional thing, some sort of limit or restriction in your life, I don't believe it's necessary that's going to render you completely useless and functionless. You might think, I can't get about like I once did. I can't move about, travel, get here like I once did. I can't think as fast. I can't act as fast. I'm not as quick as I used to be. There might be restrictions and limitations on your life, but I don't believe in God that those limits and restrictions are there to render you completely useless in his kingdom. So Paul's experience was he was in chains, but it didn't stop him, did it? Didn't stop him talking, didn't stop him encouraging, didn't stop him communicating and challenging. So there might be factors that slow you down, but I really believe that for some people, this is a word from God today, that some of the restrictions that you've experienced and some of the limitations are not there to bring you completely to a halt. You might not be able to get out of bed, but you can pray for people, can't you? You can send a text message. You can write a card. There's various things that you can do. You might not be able to do everything that you're once able to do, but you can still play your part in this family and in the family of God. And I want to encourage you to play your part. Where's Tom? Where's Mr. Giles? Where are you, Tom? Is he here? Oh, he's there. Hi, Tom. Tom will like this analogy. When footballers or sports people in general generally get a little bit older and the restrictions are, or they get injured, that you can't play like you want to, sometimes different things happen. Initially, you start to play with your head, they say in sport, don't you, rather than your body. You let your head and your experience do the work for you. And then you might go into coaching, you might go into physiotherapy, you might go into management. Just because there's a physical restriction on your ability doesn't mean you're out of the game, doesn't mean you're out of the profession, doesn't mean you're out of the sport. And I believe the same thing in church, although some of us might have restrictions, whether they are temporary or whether they are permanent, that's no restriction for playing your part in the kingdom of God. Can I have my second picture, please? This is from verse 9 onwards in chapter 1, where it says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." I love these verses because it talks about more love and more depth of knowledge and depth of insight. I think part of what it's speaking about here is discernment. The King James Version in verse 10 says this. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. I want to pray for people today as I'm speaking for excellent decision-making abilities. Maybe there's people here and you've got choices to make. You've got decisions ahead of you. Some of them might be life-changing. Some of them might be small. But I pray today that through his Holy Spirit and through his word, God would enable you individually and collectively, maybe as families, maybe as couples, to make really excellent choices. I just want to pray for anybody right now that's at a crossroads of decision, that the Holy Spirit, the word of God will come. Instruction from above will come for you today. The other thing that this talks about as well is a fruitfulness. Can I have the next picture, please? Is this making sense now, Alistair? Yeah. See, if you put words up, people will always read words quicker than you'll speak. But when you put a picture up, people might think, what on earth is that picture? Which Alistair did when I sent in the slides. It speaks of a fruitful people, this verse 9 of chapter 1. And I pray that your fruit of this church would increase, the fruit of your work, the fruit of your mission, the fruit of your community would look like that picture. I don't know if you like fruit. I quite like fruit. I like that image as well. It's not my photograph. Anybody like blueberries and raspberries and fruit? And all? Yeah? Yeah, good. I see that hand. Those have been saved a few years will get that. But I pray that the fruit of this church, the fruit of us as a sphere, the fruit of the churches in the United Kingdom and around the world would increase. Pray that you would be more fruitful, the fruit of righteousness. Lesson 3, if you like, I've done 2 so far, comes from staying in chapter 1, going to verse 27. I'm just going to read some verses. It says, whatever happens, this is 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whenever I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe him, but also to suffer for him, since that you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Could I have the next picture, please? I pinched this from a guy called Rick Cowan, as you can see. So there's a group. middle-class Christians from Sale, South Manchester and Altrincham, gathered outside the coffee shop, and there's a guy begging. No, I'm not being flippant about that. That's what this guy's written the article about, that sometimes, what does it look like to live our lives in a gospel-worthy manner? Are we gathered in little huddles while there's brokenness literally around the corner that we don't see? Are our lives so together that we're blind to bringing the gospel to the unreached, the hidden, the restricted, the marginalized? I wanted to include this slide. I took it off. I put it back. I took it off and put it back. Because I think he's not just talking about this sort of gospel-worthy manner of living, the Apostle Paul. I think there's a lot of it. But what he is saying is when we're squeezed, when we're pressured, when it's up against us, when we're in the middle of it, when we're up to our neck in it, still living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ is really important. But I guess it's really challenging. You've probably heard the analogy that until something's squeezed very hard, you don't always know what it's made of. So the analogy that's often used is of a cloth or a dishcloth that sometimes you pick up and you're ready to clean with it. Have you ever done this? And you give it a little bit of a squeeze and you think, ooh, that's not fit for cleaning. And it's the same with our lives, isn't it? We think things are good, but we come under a little bit of pressure. We come under a test, under a trial. And sometimes what can come out of us is not great, if we're honest. But what the Apostle Paul here is encouraging and exhorting us to do is to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He also talks about not only being in the blessings of Christ, but joining in the sufferings. I don't know about you, but I would prefer to live in the blessings of Christ than to live in the sufferings. But the reality is, friends, we suffer with Christ. We suffer for Christ, as well as living in the blessings. So it's important when we suffer for the sake of the gospel that we strive together, as it says here, strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. When times are difficult, when we're pressured, when that's difficult, stand firm in one spirit, Paul tells us to do. I hope I'm not breaking any confidences from the marriage weekend here, but Lucy and I were reflecting, we've just been on the marriage weekend last weekend. By the way, if you've not been on it, it's absolutely fantastic. I would really highly recommend it. And we were just talking about the one thing about marriage that you value is no matter what we go through, you go through it together. And it's the same as the church, isn't it? You'll have had difficult times, really challenging times. You will have challenging times as a family. We've had them. We have times where people join us, people leave us. We marry people, we dedicate people, we bury people. It's painful, it's difficult, it's challenging. But the one thing, we do that together, don't we? We rejoice together and we suffer together. And I said to Lucy, I feel, obviously with Christ in the middle, but together we can face more or less anything. I don't say that flippantly or easily. But when you're suffering together, it makes a difference than suffering in isolation, I believe. Lesson number four, or image number four. I'm going to read quite a lengthy bit that's quite well known from chapter 2. If you're following, if you're reading along, let's go over to chapter 2. I'm going to read 11 verses, which are just absolutely fantastic. I'm reading from the NIV. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's just take a minute to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. In fact, if that's your belief, if that's your heart, why don't you repeat after me these four simple words? Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's say that together. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. There is power in our confession, isn't there? There's power in our words. Can I just have the picture, please? You'll see from these hearts that are carved from wood or from leaves that there are similarities, but they're not all the same, are they? And I think it's a great analogy of you, of us as the church, that we're not photocopies or facsimiles of one another. We're not robots. God hasn't made us as robots. He's made us in his image as human flesh. So we have similarities. They are connected. There are similarities. But there's distinctions as well, isn't there? Each of you have got your own unique DNA. But there's a commonness, there's a togetherness, isn't there? There's a oneness. It says, doesn't it, to look to the interests of others. That's one thing I love about being in the family of God, is that we don't just look out for ourselves, do we? We look out for one another. And I want to encourage you this week to look out for people. Look out for the people that could get lost easily in this church, that could get ignored, that could get overlooked, that might be hurting, that might be suffering. Look out for one another. Highly value one another this week. Do things that are really practical. Can I have the next image? Some words on this one, Al. Staying in chapter 2, as I say, I'm not going to cover, you'd be glad to know, all of, and I can't do all of Philippians, it'd take weeks. But chapter 2, 14 to 16 says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. I love these words, that you and I were born to shine like stars in the sky. I know it's like around here, but if you've ever managed to get out in the countryside where the light pollution is low and you look at the stars, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? We had the real blessed opportunity as a family this year to go to California in August, and we went just on the edge of Yosemite. I don't know if anybody's ever been. And we spent hours at night on this veranda of this wooden balcony as a family, just looking at the stars in the sky. Felt like hours, didn't it, Lucy? We were just out there. Really simple. And when I was reading that verse, and you look, and you go, oh, this one, and kind of looking for shooting stars. And we were meant to shine like stars, and we are shining like stars in the dark sky. Where it talks about the warped generation, that's a referral back to, a reference back to Deuteronomy. And I wrote these words. I don't preach, by the way, my notes word for word. I just make bullet points and then just jump around them. But I just felt I had to write this down, and I want to share this with you. I wrote this. I thought, more than ever, a hurting world needs a loving church. The dark nights of our society and culture need a loving, bright church to stand firm, stand fast, and shine. More than ever before, the life-changing love of Jesus Christ needs to be walked out through you and I, and that kindness that leads to repentance to be evident in both you and I. He's chosen you and I to be salt and light for this world, to both taste and to see, That's the thing with salt and light, isn't it? One of them you taste, one of them gives taste, one of them gives sight, gives light. So I encourage you and exhort you and stand with you today to say once more, I'm going to live my life for Jesus. I'm going to shine like the stars in a black world. Maybe for some of you, where he's positioned you in your community, in your work, in places of influence, he's positioned you there to shine in a dark place, to bring his light that points back to him, to bring hope to your neighbours, to your friends, to the people you do the school run, people that you share a car journey with, the people that share an office space with, or a learning that you learn with, you share a classroom with in whatever ways. Can I ask the band to come back up? I'm just going to close by praying. I hope you do get a chance to read Philippians this week, because the Apostle Paul at the end of chapter 4 closes in pretty much the same way that he started. So 4:23, the last verse says this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen, he says. Let it be. So be it. So I'm going to ask if you can stand. I'm just going to pray for you as a church family today. Thank you for listening to me as I've raced through the book of Philippians and just pulled out one or two things that I felt were pertinent from God. But I'm just going to use this opportunity just to pray for you as a church before the band lead us in one more song and our time's finished. Thank you for listening. Father God, I thank you for this family here. Thank you for those that you've called out, that you've brought together and you've joined to be one people, one family here. Father, I want to give thanks in advance for the people that are going to join this family that are not yet in the room, that are not yet in the place, that are not in small groups, they're not connected. I give thanks in advance for the joining, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for those that are in here today that have felt some of that limitation and restriction on their life. But maybe the speed has come down, Lord, but I thank you that they're still in motion. I thank you they're still moving for you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you will complete the good work that you've started in every single one of your people in this room. I thank you, Lord, that you'll complete the good work that you call this church to be, Lord, back in the day. Thank you, your hand is upon this church, Lord. Your hand is upon this family. I pray, Lord, for those that have decisions to make, Lord. I pray for the ability, the discernment to make wise choices, Lord. I pray people would hear what the kingdom choice is for their life. And Father, if you're giving people a menu or an option of choices, I pray that they will pick the right ones. Families, couples, businesses, missional communities, small groups, connections that are making choices this week, this month, this year. Father, let the choices be to the glory of God. Father, I pray for anybody here today that is wearied and burdened. I pray your word, your spirit will come to quicken them today, Lord. Lift up aching hearts, Lord. Lift up souls that are weary and spirits that are weary. Refresh those that say, I can't go on any further. Even today, lift those people up, Lord. Bless relationships, Lord. Bless the leaders of this church on whatever level. Bless the members of this church. Bless marriages, Lord. Friendships, groups, the whole life of this church. Lord, let their experience be, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi with joy. May this church be full of joy. May people, when they come in, see something that's remarkably different about this people that makes them want to have you, Jesus, in their life. Save souls in this community. Turn this community upside down, Lord. Strengthen it. And our prayer is, Lord, not just for this church to have that impact, but all the churches in this area to have that impact, Lord. Coming together as one. Lord, I pray for Sale and the surrounding areas to be one for you, Jesus. And Father, as I just finish, I just want to commit these people to you. Let your grace and peace be a living reality in the name of Jesus. Amen.